Hi, Madam Chair. AGP Video is recording and broadcasting. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Lloyd. Appreciate it. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the regular board meeting for the CCSD. And this is the meeting for July 8th, 2021. And as for our opening, I'll call to order. And Osana, could you please provide us with the Pledge of Allegiance? Thank you.
Yes.
Would you join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, please? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, Osana. Okay, and in establishing a quorum, we have all directors present. Thank you. And moving on to the president's report, there are two things actually that I wanted to bring to your attention. One is apparently there was a hacking that happened on my district account, and some of the directors had started receiving emails from me with some rather bizarre kinds of emails. So anyway, CIO Solutions, who handles the site for us, was able to identify that it was a spoofing, rather an innocuous word for a nasty little thing. But apparently what it does is establishes a secondary email account for me in Gmail. And so it provided the access to any email accounts in Gmail that could be sent to. Mm-hmm. So that's being blocked by CIO, and there'll be information coming out to this, but I request that any emails you may be getting from me to please check the name at the top and the associated account number, and make sure that it's the valid account number for me, and before you open any of the any emails for a while. Let's see if we can get it to die down at least. Secondarily, the other item that I wanted to talk to was there's been quite a lot of discussion and conversations happening in different areas of social media and so forth about why we or what actions that CCSD is taking as far as of the water emergency. So I just wanted to spend a couple of minutes up front just kind of getting an orientation for the community about the process that lays behind our ability as a district to go ahead and establish that information. The first step is that we, of course, had to have a public hearing and discussion to consider the adoption of the Urban Water Management Plan and the Water Shortage Contingency Plan. The second of those items is the one that has the six steps to be able to declare an emergency, and it's an application that's used by the state of California. So in the submittal of that UWMP and the WSCP, another acronym to get used to, which is the Water Shortage Contingency Plan, it's a part of the UWMP. It's Section 8. And that was all formally submitted to the state of California on its due date, which was July 1st, which then put us in the position of being able to move forward about the process of how we go about declaring an emergency. So before the CCSD can declare a state of emergency with using the new state criteria six stages, there has to be a published notice for the public hearing in print media. And that posting must be made 1 week prior to the public meeting. That notification was posted in today's Tribune 7-8, which is the fast available source that we had due to print media requirements for their staging of publication. So everything kind of backs off and you kind of have to march through what those dates are. And then, as stated in that public notification, the CCSD will be having a public hearing on July 15th, which is our next board meeting, to discuss the adoption of a resolution for a declaration of a stage 3 water shortage warning or a stage 4 water emergency. and establishing and implementing the regulations related thereto. So that's actually the language of the public notification that was put into the Tribune today. So there's the references to two different stages, as there needs to be the time frame to be able to determine very specifically whether the conditions that we are currently within relate to stage three or stage four. And just for reference, in case that there are people in the community who would want to know more specifically about that water shortage contingency plan and those stages, if you missed any of the three public notifications and reviews that we had of the information, you can go to the CCSD website and you can go to the header on the website. And if you click on water and then come down to plans and programs and click on that, that will take you to a page that will display the urban water management plan, the final urban water management plan. And if you want to look specifically about the stages, that's in section 8 of that plan and pages 8-4 through 8-6. So hopefully that addresses some very specific information for folks so they have some idea of what lays behind the reviews that we're going to be doing later on the 15th. And that concludes my president's report and information I wanted to bring. So we'll move on to the agenda review. Are there any additions or deletions by any of the directors? Do I see any? No. Director Gray, your hand's up. Is that?
Yeah, I had a question on your report, actually.
Okay.
Just a minor one that people will probably ask. When this hearing is held next week, we are limited by terms of the hearing to stage three or stage four, right?
Right.
We can't simply, you know, rush ahead and declare stage five at that point. Okay. That's good enough. Thank you.
And that's why it was used in a description of two stages, just to give a little bit of flexibility to the decision point that we need to make at that time. Thank you for the clarification, though, Director Gray. Appreciate it. Just again, state, I didn't see any agenda review additions or deletions. No. All right. We'll move on then to board member communications. Are there any board members who have communication items that they'd like to relay? Again, I do not see any directors indicating that. So, and let me make sure about something here to get right. So, Vice President Howell, is there something that you had wanted to? Yeah, I got the other part of my screen up. Thank you.
Thank you. More for information. I don't know if this is the right spot. I wanted to ask whether public comment will be permitted during the for the consent agenda.
It'll be before the, well, there's public comment on items not associated with the agenda that happen after the commission reports. But yes, on the consent agenda, yes, it's
cool.
First, I ask the board members, then I ask the public, then I bring it back to the board if necessary for the vote. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. We'll move on to the commission report then. And we have the provost chairman report. So, Mr. Niffen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for having me. Let's see if we can get through this. Okay. At the last meeting, we went through a couple of things. Number one, we've made a very definitive motion that we would like the board to direct the general manager to begin filing the application as soon as the creative gets done for this particular piece of property across the street, right? And we would also like to, and we also voted in that same thing, that 100% of that grant funding goes to the skate park. And we have come with the bullet in our holster of the Mel McCullough letter from the Chamber of Commerce, which I'm assuming is going to be read during public comment, unless Osana wanted to read it right now, because now would be the appropriate time for it. Is that okay?
Well, I don't know what it's in regard to. Is it?
Have you guys not read the letter from Mel McCullough? Well, then let's get on that letter, because you're going to like that one. Osana, we have that, I'm sure.
Well, Mr. Sniffen, before you direct the board, let me back off just a little bit.
All right.
The items that were specific from the PROS commission, do you have something in writing with a vote that was associated with it that you're bringing to the board and asking us to take action on?
I'm not sure what you mean in writing.
You've just stated two items that you are definitive in wanting the board to take action in.
Yeah, no, that would make sense to me, but we've never actually written something on a piece of paper. So it would be on paper or on an email or.
Well, at the very least, it would be an email, but I think that probably the reason I was asking about it is that your requests were very specific, and I don't know that the first one was I don't know exactly what it meant.
Well, there's a lot of scuttlebutt in the community, as we're going to see in the public comment, that they're afraid that this board is not going to put that skate park over across the street on Main Street. And so Stan Cooper, if you can watch that video, made a very definitive motion that wants you guys as a board to let this community know that that skate park is going across the street and every single dime of that grant money is going for that skate park. And we voted, and everybody on that commission was in the affirmative that that's what we want. And we're seeming to have a hard time getting this board to understand that that's what we want. We feel like this board might not really want that, but they're not saying that. And we keep saying that's where we want it. That's where the community wants it. And Mel McCullough, who's the Chamber of Commerce president, wrote a very definitive letter in support of both those things, which to me just says, this deal's over. We got to get on board with putting that thing over there. That's what we're trying to do. If I have to write that down on a piece of paper and hand it to somebody, I will.
Yes, I would like to have that documented, please. And please provide that to the general manager so that we can actually put it on the agenda.
We would like it on
be able to have a discussion and be able to then... We can't just respond to your request. I mean, it has to be defined. It has to have the vote associated with it. And then it has to be brought forward to the board for consideration. I recognize the intent of wanting to have a validation that the board will absolutely commit to putting the skate park there. But frankly, we haven't gotten the data back from the testing that has to take place for us to even know whether that's possible. And we can't commit that level of commitment until we understand the facts related to the site and if there are any issues and what the limitations are and if there are cost impacts that would come from it. So you're asking us to make a commitment that we don't have sufficient information.
Well, wait a minute.
To be able to lay down in that way. Now, Vice President Howell, would you like to join in the conversation with this?
Thank you. I did attend as an observer of the PROS meeting, and it was fairly clear there were two items. It was a unanimous vote. There were two issues that the PROS Commission wants a commitment from the board to put the skate park in that location and no other. They really, very, and they want to have total control. They do not want any of the grant money to be skimmed off for other purposes. They were very clear about that. I think this is probably not the venue for discussing this. It's an appropriate agenda item, and I will definitely push to have it on the next at our next meeting, because there's, I don't know where it is coming from, but the skate park supporters, I'm getting the impression there is a sense that the board is not 100% behind their efforts. And so I think it's the board is going to have to make some kind of position clear, whatever that position is. Anyway, thank you. Sorry.
That's just okay, no, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
I appreciate the clarification too. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Niffin. Is there anything additionally as far as the reports?
Well, there were a couple of other things. In regards to the looking at the master plan, and are you guys familiar with the money in the budget for the master plan look at with the consultant for $19,000?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Weigold, would you like to address that, please?
Yes, we added $19,000 for hiring a consultant to help out with a review of the master pros plan, which hasn't been updated since the early 90s.
So it was a little unclear to us because we didn't really know where that came from. That was not an internal pros thing. That was an external CCSD thing. Right.
I believe there is some background to that, and the idea of being able to take a look at the pros plan overall, because it hasn't been looked at in, you know, 25 or 30 years.
Well, and Don can back me up on this, but the feeling of my board is we'd rather have that money go to the skate park than to looking at the master plan.
Again, probably not a place to have this conversation.
I'm just reporting on what occurred at the meeting then.
All right. And I appreciate that the PROS Commission has desires and feels it necessary to voice them in this way. So Director Farmer, or excuse me, I believe Ms. Duffield was first.
Thank you, President Seidel. So I can offer a little bit more background on the annual budget for the PROS fund. Generally, we have about $20,000 in that budget each year to study different items. So for the fiscal year that we're talking about, this fiscal year, instead of that just being a generic, undefined $20,000, that's what we further defined it as, is to update the master plan. So it wasn't just put in there willy-nilly. You know, it's something that we restore for them every single year that's been in their budget for a very long number of years to do studies like they did for the skate park. And once that study moves from, you know, like a real, you know, a theory, I guess, to something like design, like the skate park is happening, we move that money from the services and supply areas, and we move that into the capital project area, just like we did at the end of last fiscal year for the skate park design. So I just wanted to add that to the history.
Okay, thank you. So I will ask, is there the other two directors who have their hands up, is there any history that's being added, or are we taking this to discussion? Because if it's discussion, then we need to leave it until it comes up as an agenda item. Okay, you're both still okay. Director Farmer.
Thank you. I just want to observe two things. First off, with regard to the PROS meeting that took place this past Tuesday, and the very strong comments that were made by I guess you would say PROS committee member Cooper, who happens to be one of the many attendees that is here this afternoon, I believe in support of the skate park, as well as the very powerful statement from Mel McCullough, who somewhat confirmed that the entire business community I think he stated the entire business community was unanimous in their support of the skate park being at the old location across from the Veterans Hall. And just that alone, and the fact that this particular location that would be to the greatest value for the community as well as the youth. And so I just wanted to follow up on that. And like I said, there's a number of people attending right now who are in support of the skate park. And I believe there's one person who has their hand up that probably wants to speak on this item.
I'm sure that we'll be able to do that when we get to public comment. Thank you, Director Farmer. Okay, Vice President Howell.
Thank you. Yeah, I think maybe the source of the issue here is that and what is really needed is the board needs to provide PROS with some instruction. If the board wants to have PROS master plan updated, that instruction needs to come from the board. May I suggest that while I appreciate the staff's efforts to move things forward, that particular item should have come from the board, not from staff. It is not up to staff to tell PROS what they should or should not be doing. So again, I think as an agenda item coming up, we need a more generic item to an instruction to PROS, whether to instruct them to update their master plan or not. And if we do instruct them, they may choose to use that money or they might decide to do it on their own. So this is not the time to discuss this, but it's very clear that I think there are some issues having to do with the lines of authority here and who is responsible that we do need to clarify.
Right. Thank you. I will add that part of the budget review took that into consideration. That was all verbalized, and the directors were provided with the opportunity to take exception to what was provided in the budget and how it was defined. So in actuality, the board has passed on that. So any more comments? Okay, fine. Then what we will do is there anything else, Mr. Niffen?
No, that's good. Thank you. I'm sorry to be so cantankerous.
Not at all. No, you brought forward the issues for discussion, and we'll move it forward and actually get those items agendized so we can have that conversation. That's the mechanism in which it happens. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We will move on to public comment then. All right. And Mr. Carmel, you had your hand up. Before we move on, is there something you'd like to offer?
I think there may have been a public comment on that item.
I'm sure there, yeah. I'm sure there are. So, Osana, public comment, please.
Yes. Yes, so do you want me to get the names that are up or the one to read?
Let's go with the public comment itself first.
Okay, all right. Rita Benavides, go ahead, please.
Hi. Yeah, I was told that this meeting was in fact going to be about the skate park, and so I just want to reiterate and back up Steve Niffen and Harry Farmer in just talking about the community support and need and desire to have the skate park go through, and that Julie brought the grant to the CCSD, and that was in completely for the funds to all be used for the skate park. And they've raised I'm not sure how much, Harry, you probably know, but all you guys know, like, they're almost there. They have the designers as everything. And so I just want to say, let's do it. They have the money, and we have all the community support. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Benavides. I hope I pronounced that correctly. Osana?
Thank you. Dr. Bettenhausen, go ahead, please.
Thank you very much. I understood Mr. Carmel to bring up the lack of public comment on the PROS report. So I do want an extra 15 seconds because I want to do public comment on the PROS quickly and then on something else. I really hope that when you take up the master plan of the for PROS, that you bring it to a public hearing. I do not think that you should do any revision without notifying the public in advance of the opportunity to make our comments about what the master plan for the Parks and Recreation and Open Space Commission should be. So I thank you for in advance for your complying with that hope. I want to thank you, President Steidel, for your comments about what's happening next week and urging people to go to the website and find the Section 8 of the Urban Water Management Plan. I also hope that that the staff report next week will elaborate a lot on what you call the current conditions, because I think that's very unclear at the present. And so the more specificity we could have there, that would be good. I also would like the website to post some notice on the news. I checked, it's not there at all. Even though legally you don't have to put it on the website, only the paper would suffice legally. I think very few people read that section of the Tribune, to put it mildly. I shouldn't laugh. I love the Tribune. But please post it on the website how people can get access to these six stages. I've posted them on social media, as you well know, in the past 2 weeks, but that was the draft form and I haven't updated that. My other comment is that I want very much to thank a man in Cambria who reminded me to make it utterly clear that the unit in our billing is, it's certainly 748 gallons, that's not a question, but it's 100 cubic feet. It is not a cubic foot. And so the table and the comments that I've posted on social media, as you all know, and sent to you, I have revised that, but I've posted it again because I think how much water we Cambrians started using when the emergency drought went in 2014, and how we've used water since then, I think that is all germane to how we define emergency or just shortage this time around. So I urge people to look at, I'd be happy to send it directly to people. My email is there, just let me know. But I hope that we can get a serious discussion in Cambria about two things. What Director Rice always used to request and never got, and that is a definition of need for water, and what we should then decide next week, or you should, and we should acquiesce to your wonderful judgment, what in the world we should specify now as the optimum usage for Cambrians, both commercial and residential. I say that again, both commercial and residential, because I think we all have to conserve at the highest level possible, even if it's not an emergency. And I won't belabor my point with describing to you now in 14 million paragraphs, the climate crisis. So I saw 5 snowy plover on the beach this morning. That is really unusual in July. I won't elaborate that either. I will now finish by thanking you again for pointing the public, President Steidel, where to go on the website. And also, I urge people to start looking carefully at how much water we all use. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Bettenhausen. Osana?
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Bettenhausen. Jeffrey Smith, go ahead, please.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jeffrey Smith. I've been working with the SCADE initiative for about a year, and I just wanted to voice my support for giving the full Prop 68 grant to the skate park. We understand there is other projects with the bathrooms and the dog park, and that will open up, you know, options for soccer fields in the future. But there's a lot of other places within the community where field-based sports can be practiced. The high school, Shamwell Park. Skaters in the community have very few places where there's safe obstacles, where they can go out and build skills and not risk causing property damage. Many of the skaters within this community learned at the old park and, you know, started to progress, got really into the sport, and then it was just taken away and they're left with really no options to continue the sport they love. Right now, there's so much momentum behind the skate park with unanimous vote from PROS to give this money to it, support from the Chamber of Commerce, extremely committed community members, including the youth that have for over a year been involved in rallies, fundraising events, we're near having construction costs and design completion. With this full grant and the funds that have already been raised, we're near having a fully funded project. Dividing the funds between other projects would just really slow down this project and leave us with multiple projects that still have funding gaps. I just want to, again, voice my support for let's get this done, get a big win for the community, get this beautiful recreational space in place that we can all start enjoying. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Carlos, go ahead, Carlos Montalvo, please.
I think Mr. Montalvo needs to unmute himself.
I've asked him to.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
All right.
Yes.
I am also here today to voice my support for the skate park initiative and to do so not just with my reflection, but really from a reflection of in the point of view of so many of our nation's national and civic leaders. Why is the skate park so important? Well, if you were Herbert Hoover, you would have said children are our most valuable resource. And why is that? Children are our most valuable resource because according to the Select Panel for the Promotion of Child Health, we have to remind ourselves that children make up more than one third of our population, but 100% of our future. And I can think, if I look broadly across many of the activities here in Cambria, I really can't think of another project that not only has the unanimous support of the PROS committee, the unanimous support of our civic leaders. It is also a project that has so many young people involved. And so when you look at the various things that that the CSD can look at to improve the lives of our children, I can't think of a project that is so motivated, has so motivated the community, has so motivated these children's groups, and they just deserve it. So I echo the previous speaker's sentiments, which is, let's get on with it. I would like to see the CSD find ways to accelerate this project, to finalize this project, to support it both directly and indirectly, as opposed to coming up with more and more bureaucratic ways of stalling, delaying, revisiting, restudying. I think this project has merit. I think this project is a sound solution with a clear beginning, middle, and end. And I think that once CSD approves this project, that the community and people outside the community will raise up to find the necessary funds to complete the project. And so what I ask is that you move swiftly, that we get this project on a public agenda, that we have transparent a review of how this project will be decided, and that we move forward.
Thank you, Mr. Montalvo. Your time is up, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Osama?
Yes, Red, go ahead, please.
Greetings, CCSD, you got Reb here. I've been on multiple meetings, and I want to just say that I have concerns that we have to continue to labor these skate park points. One, we voted once, twice on having the skate park. at the existing location. Barring that there's no, you know, Native American burial ground there or something. I think it's within the CCSD's ability to say, yes, we are committed to having the skate park there, pending there's no restriction. So I feel like we're being transparent, and I want to be kind and professional and say, I don't like that feeling that I'm getting kind of ran around a little bit. On the topic of the Prop 68 grant, which we have full support from the Chamber of Commerce, full support from the PROS committee that 100% of the grant should go to Skate Cambria with no skimming. Ethically, I feel like that is something that the group should be able to answer. Yes, you brought us Prop 68. Thank you for helping us manage. You really don't have to manage anything on the skate park because you have a complete board of children. You have a complete board of adults that are running this. We have these kids in this economy that continues to work and support our restaurants and our grocery store here in Cambria, and nobody wants to work right now. But all our kids are showing up for our community. So when a simple thing is asked like, yes, can you please confirm that the skate park will be built at the location next door to the library? And yes, of course, the whole grant would be used on the skate park, since you, the skate park committee, actually brought us to it, to our attention. I feel like in transparency, you should be able to answer those questions. And I'm really not trying to be difficult. I want to be respectful. I know you guys have a lot on your plate. I know that the skate park is a very small part of it, but that's why we're all rising up to support CCSD, so that you guys don't have to labor on the ins and outs of all this stuff. You'll have design and survey work this week if you don't already have it. And then I just want the commitment from CCSD that it's the number one project. That's what PROS is telling us, but you guys are really the governing board. And so I'm looking for that commitment from CCSD to this community. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you, Rob. Laura Swartz, go ahead, please.
Coming. Okay, CCSD board and staff, good afternoon. Okay, this is a little different. My comment is a question and a request. Okay, first, I acknowledge and thank you, Cindy, for bringing up the ad in the paper about the stages. That's part of my comment here. And so at next week's meeting, we'll be discussing our water emergency stages. And that's a totally responsible thing to do. And I agree with conservation and caring for our environment. I think everybody knows that. My question, though, is how can you even contemplate, this is controversial, any additional building when you're asking the current ratepayers and the current residences to conserve severely and preparing us to pay the enormous bills of running and hauling the waste from the machine? I mean, think about it. You're asking us to conserve. You're going to ask us to pay huge amounts to run this thing. So how can you put more people onto it? We have a problem with what we have. That was my question. My request is for Gus Yates, the consulting hydrologist, to speak to the public now. Put him on, be it at a CCSD meeting or a standing committee to explain our aquifers. The public needs to know and to understand what we're up against so that we may cooperate and adjust to safely use them and protect our aquifers. Please give us some information so we understand, so we can cooperate with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you, Laura. Buddy Campo, go ahead, please.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, hope you guys are having a good day. I'm just hoping that for all these kids that have spent so much time and so much effort on the skate park that they can get this project done before they're adults. I hope that along with some of the other comments, any of these bureaucratic red tape nonsense can end. The CCSD already just really messed over our youth when they tore this down and told them that they were going to rebuild it. So it'd be nice if there was no more surprises and just no more garbage when it comes to that. And if any of that grant gets taken for something else, that's just another huge spit in the face to these kids and to the adults that have worked on this and who brought you the grant. So I'm just hoping that they get to see some fruits of their efforts and they get to use it. I'm also curious if there's any other like hidden agendas with this location, and that's maybe why things are being stalled. Does the CCSD board, does John, does anybody know if there's any other agendas that they're trying to push under the radar? Do they want to test the charging station there? Do they want something else there? I mean, it just seems insane why there's so many headaches, roadblocks, and why isn't this an agenda item? It should be an agenda item every time. CCSD has put our children in this town last repeatedly. Why isn't an agenda item every time until you get this fixed? Thank you for your time.
Well, thank you, Mr. Campo.
Thank you, Mr. Campo. Chelsea Foster, go ahead, please.
Hello, everyone. My name is Chelsea Foster. I want to say thank you for everybody's comments and for everything that the CCSD does for our community in Cambria. I am a child of Cambria. I grew up as a wee Bronco, graduated in 91, and I went on to, live a very wonderful life working in events and production worldwide. And one of my favorite communities that I work with is the skate community. I have had the blessing of working with World Cup Skate Association, among so many others. As we all know, they just went to the Olympic Committee. So I want to speak on behalf of two voices. One, as myself, a young Cambrian. I remember when there was only one signal in town and Calamity Jane's was at the end of the road, okay? And our skaters had to go to the drain pipe off the highway, which was really dangerous. I graduated in 91, as I said, and a child in Cambria doesn't have much to do. We don't have a theater. We don't have a bowling alley. There's nothing to do. We had to take the slow cat to town alone. I think restricting this any longer is totally, it's not in alignment with what we have always protected in Cambria, managed over the years to keep it authentic. And the skate park continually getting slapped down is just a bummer for the kids. And I've been involved, gratefully, from its inception. Even though I left town when I was young, I have always stayed connected to motivating and protecting our community. I volunteer at Pine Dorado, all kinds of events, Rotary, et cetera. I have a dovetail here. I want to just say, I get it. I know what the CCSD is protecting. However, this skate park has proven itself over and over and over again with unrestricted cash. They have full support on the Prop 68. And I'm asking you guys to really consider the mind of a child that has nothing to do and what a skate park might prevent them from getting into, because it's been a long time and I've watched town not change so much. And I think that this should be less about protocol and more about what are we really giving our children in our town? I'm getting old and nothing's really changed. They don't have anything to do. So I just really, on that note alone, think of the kids, because that's what this is about. We have a beautiful community. It's why I always come home. And I want to see that torch carry on. I see kids skating at the high school all the time still. I mean, it's the same thing when I was in high, I'm coming up for my 30-year reunion next month. Nothing has changed. So I'm asking, you know, just for a general care of the well-being of our children, and think of it that way. And I'm sure they can support it. We have concerns of environmental, et cetera. We'll figure it out.
Thank you, Ms. Foster. And Osana?
Thank you, Ms. Foster. Stan Cooper, go ahead, please.
You can hear me, yes?
Yes.
Okay. Couple of things. First of all, if any of you on the board are having a difficult time understanding the necessity of this in terms of its potential positive impact on the lives of the young people in the community, I recommend that you spend a couple of hours watching a new film that's on Netflix called Skate Girl. It happens to take place in India in a village, but it's about the personal empowerment that skateboarding can give the children in an otherwise unfriendly community, one that is not kid-friendly. And it's called Skate Girl. It's a very heartwarming film. I am a retired teacher, and I spent my career working with young people, as did my wife, April Benham, who was at the grammar school. And we both understand that skateboarding isn't just a loud, cantankerous, anarchistic, anti-adult behavior. What it is a performance art. It's as relevant a performance art as is surfing or dance or theater or orchestra. And it thrives on an audience. And besides that, what it also does is it empowers kids to be teachers, to communicate with their peers, and to show them skills that they have mastered and help those who have not got those skills yet develop them. And that's why it's so important that skate park be across the street from the vets hall, so that the community can see what these kids are doing and these kids can show off, so they can get some pride in what it is that they're doing. So you know where I stand on this. One other thing I'd like to do, if possible, is ask Osana, if you possibly could, to read that letter from the chamber that reflects exactly, and it's so surprising to me a couple days ago, that when that letter came from the Chamber of Commerce, I thought that they were going to try to wreck the deal somehow, but it was like a breath of fresh air, and it expresses exactly where we in pros are. Could you please do that, Osana?
Mr. Cooper, I'll be happy to have Osana read that. Generally, what we do is we take public comment first, and then if there are written comments, then we have them read after the public comment is finished.
Okay, then. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ted Key, go ahead, please. Unmute.
Hi, I didn't get the unmute sign very quickly. Good afternoon, board. I have been looking with a number of people at the water consumption that's been going on here, and it's pretty alarming, especially the commercial and the vacation rental percentages are up quite a ways. So I certainly hope that the board will make every effort to rein in some of the usage, and I don't know how you will do it, but it's alarming to see the water levels dropping so quickly, especially in San Simeon. I have not yet reviewed your six stages, but I'm sure that we will qualify somewhere along the line. Now, I know that you are discussing also the purchase or the lease of a truck today, and I don't want to necessarily step in on that, because if you need the to lease a truck, then lease the truck. But let me just say this. I am in the process on our standing committee of putting together a climate policy for the CSD. And we really, folks, if 121 degrees in the middle of Canada isn't enough to convince you that we are in a climate emergency, I don't know what is. And so what I'm going to say here is the Ford company has come out with an F-150 electric truck.
And I'm sorry to interrupt you, sir, but that is on the agenda. So if you would like to, discuss that, I need to have you directed during the agenda item.
Okay. I'm sorry.
I apologize for the interruption.
No, that's fine. I didn't really mean to touch on it at this point anyway, but that's okay. I'll speak on that, on that issue later. Thank you.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you.
And then one last thing, please, folks, as soon as the infrastructure bill is settled in the federal government, we need to get out there and see about getting money to build the Warren Reservoir. We will never have water security here until we have that water in the air. It's doable. I've talked with Clyde. There's all kinds of studies. It's time now proactively to move forward with that plan. We can and we must do it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Key. So, Osana, there don't appear to be any additional public comments. So I'm assuming, I know we have at least one written comment that was received.
Yes, I have two comments.
All right. We will apply the same 3-minute limitation if we can to that, so that it's equal for all parties in providing public comment. So Osana, could you please begin?
Yes. From Mel McCullough, president of the Cambria Chamber. Honorable board and pros commissioners, I am Mel McCullough, president of the Chamber of Commerce, Cambria Chamber of Commerce, and I'm representing a large majority of our 160 chamber members. The chamber and a majority of our members support the rebuilding of the skate park in the location of the old skate park. We also totally support the CCSD giving any grant money available to provide the funds needed to help rebuild the skate park. The youngsters in the community deserve the facility. They have very little else in the way of activities in Cambria. The youngsters have worked diligently and hard to raise funds to help build the skate park. The current unusable skate park is, in my opinion and the opinion of others, the best location. It has proven to be a safe location and adds vitality to our community. It is important to provide activities for our youngsters, as we have done for our older residents. It is a great investment for our community youth and tourists with children. As I understand it, Prop 68 grant monies will provide the much needed money to help fund the rebuilding skate park. I urge the board to award all of the Prop 68 grant money to the skate park initiative to help fulfill the dreams of many of our youth in Cambria. Thank you and be safe out there, Mel McCullough.
Right, thank you. And your second letter?
And the second letter is, let's see, it's from Dawn Mazur, M-A-Z-U-R. I would like to read a short 1-minute statement at your upcoming board meeting. If it is inappropriate for me to read a statement in my own voice, can you please be sure it is read aloud during the meeting public comment section? Please advise me on how this best can be presented. Here's my statement. I'm Dawn Mazur. My home is San Luis Obispo County. I'm inviting everyone on this meeting to join in a 50-state discussion of what it means to be a de jure form of government rather than a de facto form of government. The discussion will take place from August 30th through September 8th. Find more information at dejureforsure.com by Dawn Mazur, San Luis Obispo County Assembly Coordinator.
So, Osana, could you repeat, very specifically repeat the that site or that address again? I wasn't able to pick up what you had been reading.
DeJure, so it's DeJure, the number 4, and then Sure, Sure, DeJure, 4, Sure.com.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I see and that there's another recent public comment, right?
Yes. Michael Calderwood, go ahead, please.
Hi, I did submit something in writing, but I'd like to expand on that if I might. Sort of have a Cool Hand Luke moment here. I think we have a little bit of a communication problem here, and I'd like to use the pros skateboard conversation to sort of illustrate that and maybe make a recommendation or two. The conversation as it regards the consultant for the master planning, I was puzzled by the commissioner saying this was a surprise to them. So I went and read the meeting minutes that were part of the past meeting that they had all just voted to approve. And right in there, there was an item noted that GM Weigold in the conversation had said that he was going to add that budget item to the CCSD board budget for review. So one suggestion would be read your own minutes. The second thing that became clear is that there is a real disconnect between the PROS Commission and the board as far as free flow and understanding of what each is doing. The conversation around the skate park, backed by a lot of public comment today, indicates that we're not doing a very good job of keeping factual current information in front of the community. So a lot of things are inferred or assumed to be true when they're not. I've never heard this board say anything other than support for the skate park with good factual reasons underneath as to the reason why things are going the way they're going, the challenges, the delays, the hurdles, mostly timing. And I understand completely the agita that these drawn out project schedules can induce into the community. Julie Amende does a phenomenal job of leading the citizen organization of understanding and communicating the needs and the desires of the skate park crew to the PROS Commission and to the community at large. GM Weigold does a good job of reporting out on where things are. Somehow between those two things, when they get to the PROS Commission, then when they get out to the public, all of that goes down the drain, and then we're back to speculation. I would suggest perhaps to Mr. Niffen and his committee that they appoint somebody to work with the GM, work with the board, work with OSANA, work with whoever, to make sure that there's clarity and good communication, fact-based between the organizations, so that when PROS represents or discusses things, that they've got clear, cogent and current facts that they can use to do their job and to communicate to the community, so that a lot of these upset comments and sort of semi-fact-based accusations might be alleviated a little bit. It's asking for the moon, I know, but that might be a good step to start calming the waters on this very complex project. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Calderwood. Let's see, were there any other written comments? I don't believe you indicated there were, Osana. Okay, fine.
No.
All right, and I don't see any additional public comment for this. So what we will do is continue with our agenda then, and we'll be moving to item 5, the consent agenda. So first to the board members, we only have one item within consent, but do any of the directors need to have a clarification or ask to have this moved to regular business? And seeing none, then I'll ask if there's any public comment related to the consent item.
Yeah, Director
Farmer. Oh, excuse me, Director Gray. I muted.
Yeah, Director Farmer, I think, was waving his hand.
Okay. Thank you. Director Farmer?
Excuse me. I would like to pull this item to be discussed under the regular agenda, please.
All right. Is there a clarification or that you want discussion on it?
I think there should be further discussion with regard to a couple of items there. Plus, I think that I would like to hear what Mr. Ted Key has to say, and then we might be able to discuss part of what he is addressing.
All right. So unless there are any exceptions by board members, we can move this back to or move this to regular business. All right. We'll move the consent agenda item 5A to regular business. And, Mr. Carmel, is there any protocol in terms of the putting it at the beginning or at the ending of what our regular business item listing is?
Typically, what you would do is just pull the item right now, have the discussion right now, have the testimony now, and take action on the item. It doesn't have to be formally moved.
It doesn't have to be forwarded regular business. Thank you. Okay. All right, then. With that being the case also, what we will do is call for public comment on it then, so that that's available to the board members for their discussion and consideration. So we appear to have two participants who would like public comment. Masana?
Gordon Heinrichs, go ahead, please.
Hello, board and Cindy. Appreciate your opportunity of speaking on this. There was a question that this came up that my way of thinking when we buy new equipment, and that we went through this process once before when we bought a previous Ford truck. And during that process, we had two bidders from two different dealers that provided their quotes on it. Obviously, we took the lowest bid, but during that process, they also indicated what the specifications were and the list of options and features that we were being purchased for that particular truck and the warranty involved. And it seems to me that maybe we have other dealers out there besides Ford that might want to participate, such as Chevrolet, Dodge, Nissan, and others would make other bids that may even be more aggressive than Ford may offer. The other thing is the highly desirable used equipment quote that our gym always has a high esteem for doesn't seem to have come into this play. Used equipment is very dependable nowadays with the mileage that they record and the warranties that the dealers offer. That may be a substantial savings to the CCSD. Then the budget was for $40,000, but when you put in $1,000 a month for 48 months, you're over up to $50,000, which wasn't budgeted. And now we're trying to allow that to go over a budget when we can maybe get a lower, better price that would even beat that. And the other question is, being an old truck, how many miles is on that truck? What model is it and what year? And what is the trade-in value that that may have to offset the additional expenses? So it seems that we haven't done due diligence on this quote. And so I offer that to be considered before voting on it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Heinrichs.
Thank you, Mr. Heinrichs. Ted Key, go ahead, please.
Hi, folks. Sorry about the mix-up. I didn't have the agenda right in front of me. I just want to put out there, yes, of course, I agree with Mr. Heinrichs' due diligence on whatever expenses that you're going to make. If you are going to purchase another internal combustion engine machine, then obviously you're going to want to be sure that your dollars are well spent. I just wanted to point out that going forward for the motor pool, moving to electric vehicles offers us a lot of distinct advantages. One, obviously, we're not dealing with oil changes, upkeep, gas expenses, repairs, all of those kinds of things that you experience with internal combustion engines that you will experience less with fully electric cars. And of course, we do move forward properly, just, you know, really in concert with the kinds of things that the county's doing as well. I think honestly, the new Ford Lightning truck is a harbinger of things to come. It may be out of the price range right now, and in terms of getting it in a timely manner, it might be a big question. But going forward, I really would like to urge the, and I know that the general manager Weigold is a champion of electric vehicles, because he's sponsored our own charging station here in town, which I think is, you know, is going to be a plus at the end. Let's think about how all the motor pool, not just trucks, but also cars, moving forward into the next phase of vehicles, could be all electric. That's all I was going to suggest. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Key.
Thank you.
Lisanna?
Dr. Bettenhausen, go ahead, please.
Yes, I just want to thank Mr. I want to thank Mr. Key for his comment, and Mr. Heinrichs for his analysis, which I'm very impressed with. But I was a bit surprised to see the interest rate up there at 5.35. That seems a little high to me these days, but I'm sure that a comparative analysis was done by the general manager of competing interest rates in different offers. Or if not, I'm sure Mr. Weigold would know and tell you why there was not a competitive analysis for products in this category. But I do want to underline and thank again what Mr. Key has said. This is one of the instances where we have to make difficult decisions that are not based only on the current fiscal year budget, or even a prospective five-year analysis, or even a strategic plan as you're developing it. These decisions have to have an explicit analysis of climate consequences, even for a little town like Cambria. And if we don't do that, we are setting a model called retrograde, chicken, and a few other words, which I am not at liberty to use in my public comments in audio. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Bettenhausen.
Thank you.
All right. Seeing no other public comment, what I will do is bring it back to the board for discussion then. Individual directors? Vice President Howell.
For information, I was just rereading the presentation here, and I'm not seeing anything regarding the year or the model of this truck. So I think maybe we need a few more details. And yes, that I'd just like to start with that, because I'm not sure what we're talking about here.
Okay. Yeah, I think that probably what we need to do is get some additional information from Ms. Duffield. Ms. Duffield?
Sure. Thank you, President Steidel. The truck is a 2021 Ford F-350 4x4. It is a base model vehicle, and it is gasoline powered.
All right. And the truck that it would replace?
It was the one that was damaged in the flood. We had a truck, if you recall, that was damaged through the flood, and that we're still evaluating how we are able to surplus that vehicle, since it did sustain water damage. So when we know the surplus options, that will be brought back to the board for authorization to surplus that vehicle. I believe that vehicle was a 1991 truck, if I recall correctly.
All right. GM Weigold?
Yes, thank you, President Steidel. A little further information on this vehicle. So this was in the budget for last year. We didn't execute on it because of the storm damage. We're trying to keep the budget balance as much as possible. And Carlos and his team did without that extra truck, and it's been hampering operations since. There's also a global vehicle shortage right now due to a circuit board shortage. So we only got one bid because we could only find one truck. The earliest we could get a truck otherwise would be the fall. So this was the only vehicle out there. The dealership has been holding this for almost 3 weeks now, pending this board meeting. They cut the price down to $40,000 to make our budget number. So they already chopped off several thousand dollars. As far as electric vehicles go, those pickup trucks that are electrical are several years out before they're available. So we need the infrastructure installed before to support, you know, such a vehicle in the future. So hopefully that provides the board a little bit more information and background.
Okay. That is additional information. Let's see, Director Farmer, you were first.
Well, I just want to say that we seem to be, you know, between a rock and a hard place in some ways. I can certainly understand the immediacy of the need for the truck with regard to Carlos and his crew. And then again, the idea of being more forward-looking with regard to an electric vehicle certainly seems to be a direction that we should be moving toward. I'm just wondering if there's some happy medium there where we could find a used vehicle to use in the interim while we consider perhaps, how could we say it, an electric vehicle in the relatively near future, as opposed to buying a new vehicle and keeping it around for a much longer period of time. And we should be thinking, being environmentally aware of our imprint on the planet and everything that we do. So, and I really appreciate Dr. Bettenhausen mentioning that. So those are my comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Farmer. Ms. Duffield, you were next in line. Is there an additional comment?
No, I'm sorry. I think I just did not lower my hand.
All right.
Not right now. Sorry.
Not a problem. Okay. And Director Gray.
Yeah, I have a question. It might be either for Mr. Weigler or Ms. Duffield, whoever is best to answer it. That the interest rate of 5.35% did jump out at me a little bit too, but I'm not familiar right now with the lease purchase arrangements for automobiles and trucks. Because out there, people in the public will hear about, you know, mortgages for 3% and these things. So I wanted to find out what is that. How does that match up against what are current rates in best rates, for instance, for this kind of transaction?
I'm sorry. Did you want me to respond?
Yes. Yeah. I figured the information.
Sorry. I just started talking. Sorry.
No.
So I did reach out to Municipal Finance Corp, who we purchased the last two got loans for the last two vehicles we purchased, which was the Vector truck and also the Crane truck, which was about a year to a year and a half ago. And they said the loan value was too small for them to even propose on it. So they thought the best thing we should do is, if we already had a master lease with Ford Motor Company, that seemed to be like the best option for us to go forward. So the last lease with Ford off of this master lease agreement, we just paid that off. It was a facilities and resources truck. We just paid that off this past February, like the general manager said, we had one that we paid off. And that was like in the mid fours. It was like 4.25 or 4.35 is what we had leased that vehicle for. So it's in range with what we've seen in the past. It's in range with what we're paying to Muni Finance. Muni Finance, I believe our interest rates for them for the back truck is like 4.25%. Mm-hmm. So it's not completely out of the ballpark, different than what we've seen recently.
Is there any option to refinance at some point?
No need.
If you get a better deal?
Right. We could refinance it, or we could just pay it off. We could just, you know, we could pay cash, but that is not how we, budgeted this purchase. But that's always an option for the board to consider. If they don't want to finance it at all, we just do a budget adjustment to remove
you know, the offset, and it would come out of reserves. So that's an option for the board to consider always as well.
And so a follow-on question to that then, Ms. Duffield, is that what would that do in turn? Is that something that you would just do a revision to or a realignment of budget items to be able to accomplish that? Or are you, or would this somehow, we don't have a reserve to be able to pull that from, so.
Right, it would just have to come from the general fund reserves. So if your board decides they don't want to lease the vehicle and they would just rather cash purchase it, I would need to come back during the first quarter and amend the budget and show that we're funding from reserves.
Versus, does that have to be a loan from the general fund to the water fund?
No, this is actually for facilities and resources.
Oh, so right.
It would come out of the general fund.
Okay.
It would strictly be a cash purchase out of the general fund reserves.
Okay.
The staff report was written to follow what the board approved during the 2021 budget, which was to purchase the vehicle with lease or financing options.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Vice President Howe.
Thank you. Yes, I, having listened to the discussion, it seems to me, I'm not an expert in automobile or truck pricing, $40,000 for a four-wheel drive current model Ford truck seems quite reasonable to me. Mm-hmm. Also, I the necessity for what amounts to a sole source procurement, I think the argument is good on that. The only thing I would say going forward, I mean, and I will definitely propose this, I mean, I definitely support this, but I think going forward to my colleagues, I might suggest that we consider as we go forward, our purchasing decisions having to do with our use of power, we should probably, even should we decide to go with a gasoline-powered object, there should be included in that a justification for why we're using gasoline instead of electricity. And I think General Manager Weigold has given us a good reason in this particular case, the necessity for the truck, and B, the impossibility of getting one in any timely fashion. Seems to me a reasonable course of action, with the understanding as we as a board go forward, and I think even as I see you all nodding your heads, that these the concern for the climate must be taken into account in all of our decisions.
Mm-hmm.
That's and I think we all agree on that. So, but it doesn't hurt to say it once in a while.
Appreciate that. Thank you. Ms. Duffield, did you have something else?
Yes, I just want to clarify one more item, please. And that is where this is not a sole source purchase. That's not what our request is. We would have to specify that along with the leasing agreement and the purchasing. So we did receive information back when Carlos put this together back in February, we received information back from Paso Robles Ford, and they did not have any vehicles at that time and thought it could be fall or maybe even as late as December.
Mm-hmm.
Santa Maria Ford responded with the same scenario, and so did Malahi Ford. So we did put this out to competitive bidding like we were supposed to. And like I said, we got all those replies back, but then more recently, the beginning of May is when Santa Maria Ford reached out to our facilities and resources supervisor, Mr. Mendoza, and notified him that he did have a truck if we were interested in purchasing it. So it is not a sole source. It just happens to be the only one that we can come
right
up with, that we can find.
Right. Okay. Thank you for the clarification, Ms. Duffield. Sure. Appreciate it. All right. Has there been sufficient conversation that any one of the directors would like to put forward a motion? Director Gray?
I'll move that we approve the Resolution 25-2021 to finance the purchase of a replacement truck for the Facilities and Resources Department.
Do I hear a second?
You know, I'll go ahead and second it, but I do want to say that from my perspective and with regard to following up on, once again, what Dr. Bettenhausen said and what Vice President Howell has said, that we go ahead because of the immediate need here, purchase this vehicle with the idea of moving forward and as soon as available to go ahead and purchase an electric vehicle and perhaps trade this one in. I just want to say that I have a friend who has a Tesla, and Tesla actually contacted my friend, who at that time had a BMW, and offered him cash for his vehicle just to take a polluting vehicle off the road. And then he purchased their Tesla with using the monies that they gave him for the trucks, for his vehicle. So perhaps we might think of hopefully making an arrangement such as that as quickly as it's available. So thank you.
Thank you, Director Farmer. So we have a motion and a second. Osana, roll call, please.
Yes. Director Gray, how do you vote?
Aye.
Director Gray, aye. Thank you. Director Farmer, how do you vote?
Aye.
Thank you. Director Farmer, aye. Director Dean?
Aye.
Director Dean, aye. Thank you. Vice President Howell?
Aye.
Vice President Howell, aye. Thank you. President Steidel?
Aye.
President Steidel, aye. Thank you. Five ayes.
Thank you, Osana. So resolution 25-2021 in financing purchase of the replacement truck for facilities and resources passes 5-0. Thank you all. We'll move on to regular business then. And GM Weigold, would you introduce the first business item?
Yes, President Steidel, as my internet connection is a little unstable, I'm going to have the finance manager introduced the regular business items today.
All right. Thank you. Ms. Duffield?
Okay. Thank you, President Steidel, members of the board. Agenda item 6A is for discussion and consideration of draft policy on the encampments on district property. Staff's recommendation is that the board consider the policy committee's recommendations for review of the draft policy on encampments located on district property and discuss and consider adoption of the same.
Thank you. I'd like to go on to public comment. Is there any public comment regarding this business item, 6A? I'm not seeing any. So I'll bring it back to the board. Any directors have any discussion regarding this item they'd like to present? Okay. Vice President Howell.
Thank you. Just to remind fellow board members, this is the, I think, the third iteration of this policy. That it was actually a sort of an experiment where we brought it to the board, got commentary, took it back, massaged it some more, took it back to the board for more commentary. So what you see is what the best that we could do to incorporate previous board discussions and eliminate those sections that it appeared the board was not comfortable with. So I'm hoping that we covered all the bases, but of course, with five different people and five different opinions, I don't know that the odds are with us on that, but so I just wanted to say, appreciate what you do with it, but we really tried to bring this into some semblance of expressing the sense of the board.
Okay. Thank you, Vice President Howell. Director Farmer?
I just want to briefly comment that, first off, on the compassionate way that Carlos and his staff dealt with the homeless population on district property and even adjacent to district property. And it would appear that this issue is probably not going away, although obviously, it was the the homeless population was minimized considerably over the past year or so. And I'm just wondering how we, as a district, and obviously we're rather limited in what it is, what we're able to do with regard to addressing the homeless problem. It's obviously something that's a coordinated effort with a variety of different agencies here in the community. But the homeless problem isn't necessarily going to go away. And I'm wondering how we, not just the district, but like I say, the Chamber of Commerce or whoever, how we thoughtfully address the homeless issue when people come to our community, and how we dissuade them from creating, you know, a nuisance, so to speak, while addressing their needs for just food and shelter, so to speak. I don't know how we go about doing that, but I think it's something that we need to be sensitive to moving forward. So thank you.
Thank you, Director Farmer. Are there any other comments by directors? Well, you know, as a precursor to your expectations, Vice President Howell, there is one thing that I have, and it is minor. And so I have some wording, and certainly rely on the rest of the board members to see whether it's appropriate or not. This is in the second to last paragraph. So it's the 2225.3.2. And the second to the last sentence talks about providing proper notice, storing personal property and belongings. It goes on towards the end of that. It says, and encampment sites shall be restored to their original condition. And it's restored to their original condition struck me as kind of subjective, and not knowing what really, you know, how that would be viewed. I mean, 10 people will have 10 opinions about what that is. So as a suggestion, I'd like to suggest the following as a replacement to encampment sites shall be restored to their original condition, and just say all reasonable efforts shall be made to restore the sites to their original condition. Is that, and if that is satisfactory to folks, then I would like to suggest that as amendment to the wording of this. And if it's satisfactory and there are no other comments, Vice President Howell?
Yes, I love your change. I think it's great. So okay. I'll make a motion.
All right.
I move to adopt policy 2225 as presented, but with the following amendment, that the after, try to do this in an official way.
Do you want me to repeat the?
Well, I think I can do it. We want a period after, that I'll do it this way.
Okay.
With the following change, in paragraph 225.3.2, the sentence beginning thus after providing, at the end, let us end that sentence after the word promptly, put a period there. So remove district period promptly. And then the subsequent wording, and encampment sites shall be restored to their original condition. This use the substitute wording. And then Cindy, let's use yours, which I think was all reasonable effort. Could you repeat yours? Because I love it.
All reasonable efforts shall be made to restore the sites to their original condition.
Love it. Okay. Yeah. I like that a lot. So that's my motion.
All right. And Director Dean?
I'll second the motion.
All right. Thank you. The item has been, the motion has been made and seconded. And Osana, may we have roll call, please?
Yes. Vice President Howell, how do you vote?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Vice President Howell. Aye. Director Dean?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Dean. Aye. Director Gray?
Aye.
Director Gray, aye. Thank you. Director Farmer?
Aye.
Director Farmer, aye. Thank you. President Steidel?
Aye.
President Steidel, aye. Thank you. Five ayes.
Thank you, Asana. So agenda item 6A, the consideration of draft policy 2225 is hereby passed in approval with amendment to the section related to 2225.3.2, as mentioned in the motion. And that passes 5-0.
Excellent.
Okay, thank you all. We'll move on to regular business item 6B. And Ms. Duffield, can you introduce this for us, please?
Yes, thank you, President Steidel. Agenda item 6B is for discussion and consideration to vote for a candidate to serve on the California Special District Association, which is the acronym CSDA, Board of Directors, Coastal Network, Seat A. Staff recommends that the Board of Directors discuss and consider selecting a candidate for election to the CSDA Board of Directors, Coastal Network, Seat A, and direct the Board Secretary to cast a vote as directed. Also included for you for your consideration are the two candidates' statements, and those are attached for your review and evaluation.
Thank you, Ms. Duffield, and I will take the business item to public comment. Is there anyone from the public who wishes to speak regarding this agenda item? All right, I do not see that that is the case. So what I will do is bring it back to the board to open it for discussion. Are there any directors who have specific statement they'd like to make? Director Gray.
Yeah, I have actually a question and a comment. I don't know any of these two people. I don't know if anybody on this board knows them or has talked to them or knows anything about them in terms of what their views are or what their abilities are, whatever. My question is, do we have to pick a candidate?
That was my question also. And let's see, I don't, Mr. Carmel, do you by chance have an answer for us in that regard?
I do. There is no requirement that you cast a vote.
All right. Are there any directors who feel strongly about either of the two candidates that want to put forward a motion for either one of them? Director Gray?
No.
Vice President Howell?
Strongly is probably the wrong word, but I think that if there is one that we do favor just based upon what material is presented to us, I think we would be remiss in not expressing ourselves as a district. And for that reason, having read the two applications, I really find that Elaine Magner, it seems to me to be better qualified in this case, and I would recommend that we do go forward and put our vote in for her. So I guess I can make that as a motion, maybe, but I'd like to hear some discussion. I don't want to.
Yes, and Director Dean, your comments?
After reading the applications, I agree with what Vice President Howell said. Reading the applications, her experience makes her look to me like being the better of the two candidates. Yeah. She has the experience of having served as the vice president, as well as having served as secretary and treasurer and chaired the fiscal and membership committee. And I think that's pretty good experience to recommend continue on.
Okay. Director Farmer.
I just I want to concur with the previous two members of the board, and also the fact that this woman seems to have decades of commitment to service in one fashion or another, and not only seems highly qualified, but very committed to serving the districts in the best fashion possible, and has the background to do it. So if we are going to vote, and that would probably look favorably upon us for having at least taken the time to address this item, that we should definitely vote for this woman. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Farmer. I have to agree with what other directors have said regarding the candidates. And I also believe that although I was wondering whether we had to vote or not, just as the options that needed to be presented. I do think that it's part of our obligation as member of the CSDA to participate in the things that formulate and construct it. So I'm thankful that all of you seem to feel that same way. So I would entertain a motion, please, for the individual that we would like to put forward as our choice for this election. Vice President Howell.
Let me step aside for Director Dean. I've been talking too much here. It didn't look like anybody else was going to speak.
Okay. Okay. Director Dean.
I move that the Board of Directors cast a vote for Elaine Magner for the representative for the CSDA.
Thank
you. I'll go ahead and second that.
All right. And that it's seconded by Director Farmer. Thank you. Osana, roll call, please.
Yes. Director Dean, how do you vote?
Aye.
Director Dean, aye. Director Farmer?
Aye.
Director Farmer, aye. Thank you. Director Gray?
Nothing personal, but I abstain.
Okay, thank you. Director Gray, abstain. Vice President Howell?
Aye.
Thank you, Vice President Howell, aye. And President Steidel?
Aye.
Thank you. President Steidel, aye. 4 ayes and 1 abstain. Thank you.
Thank you, Osana. All right, so agenda item 6B, the consideration of the candidate to serve on the CSDA Board of Directors is passed with the recommendation for Elaine Magner on a vote of 4-0-1. Thank you all.
I think Director Dean has her hand raised, but she's muted.
Yes.
If you don't mind, since I think the next agenda item is going to take us some time, may I have a 3-minute break?
Well, you can have more than a 3-minute break. Why don't we see, where are we? Where are we? 3:30, 4:30. Why don't we make it a 10-minute break? Okay. All right, so that would bring us back at 3.
How about 3:45?
3:45. It'll bring us back at 3:45. Thank you, Director Farmer.
Thank you.
And please, everyone remember to remute themselves when they leave. Osana, are you available?
Yes, I am back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So we will reconvene, and this is specific to right now, 6 regular business agenda item C, discussion and consideration of returning in-person meetings. So, Ms. Duffield, would you like to introduce this for us, please? Sure. You're muted, unfortunately.
Sorry, I thought I clicked my button, sorry.
No problem.
Thank you, President Steidel. Agenda item 6C is discussion and consideration of resuming in-person CCSD Board Standing Committee or CCSD Board Standing Committee and PROS Commission regular and special meetings. Staff recommends that the Board of Directors discuss and consider options to resume in-person CCSD Board Standing Committee and PROS Commission regular and special meetings and provide direction to staff. In this report, you'll see we've
identified a couple of scenarios for your consideration. And then on page 32 of the packet, about halfway down, we have a bold, some bold text of our recommendation as staff to consider resuming these meetings commencing August 1st of 2021. That will give us time to prepare based on the scenario that your board decides to go forward with in the format. So it is a lot of information, and we're here to answer any questions that you may have.
Okay, fine. And Mr. Weigold?
Yes, I'd also add in bold, in that bold recommendation, also we added that we recommend considering utilizing Zoom as an option for any all meetings going forward until we've received additional guidance from the state. As of right now, the current legislation allows us to use electronic means through the end of September, but there are several bills working their way through the legislature that that are in play right now that extends that that electronic option, one that allows for hybrid meetings. So we don't know the outcome of that yet, but one item for consideration by the board is that our strategic planner, consultant, who is going to facilitate our meetings at the end of, or actually on the first week of August, is only conducting those via electronic means until September 1st. So if you do want to consider only in-person meetings, then we'll have to reschedule the strategic plan or see if they can make, our consultant can
well, be. And if we take that option today, I'm sure that we can make an exception to it, as long as we make that as part of the motion, that specifically the strategic planning would be held in that kind of construct due to limitations from the individual who's conducting it for us. So that's a potential option. Before we get to discussion and get to public comment, there are a couple of things I wanted to clarify with Mr. Carmel, just as it might help us to move quickly through some of the decisions that we've had. Mr. Carmel, it's my understanding that if we were to maintain a Zoom environment, say for the standing committees, which has been suggested as an option, that the Brown Act requirements, since we've moved past certain dates, would be that we would have to have a, assuming people would be in their homes to do that, that there would have to be a publication posted within their home that the meeting was going on and that it was open to public. I mean, does it go so far as to infer then that becomes an open meeting spot for anyone participating in the meeting and that the public could come to their homes?
Under the current executive order until the end of September, that won't be necessary. But if none of those bills pass and if the governor doesn't extend that order beyond then yes, the traditional Brown Act requirements, which are post your location and make it available to the public, would be applicable. Terribly awkward.
Terribly awkward. Okay, but that definitely adds a complexity, not only for, you know, considering that for something like just standing committee or just pros, but also where there'd be some kind of hybrid that would go on with board meetings. That could be very cumbersome.
a lot of this will depend on the outcome of the pending legislation. We're all fairly secure in the fact that there will be some form of hybrid meetings. Which form we don't know yet, and we probably won't know until mid-September. And it may be that you'll want to reconsider whatever you do today then, depending on what direction you go.
Okay, so the potential as an option of making these decisions would be, you know, potentially to be able to put them into effect August 1st or to put them into effect September 1 after there's the potential for having reviewed or having the other legislative considerations mature and come to decision.
I think that's accurate. I think one thing's become clear, everyone's recognized how uncomfortable the current Brown Act wording is and that it's not really necessary. And I think that's the reality of it all. So something will change. It may be the Brown Act itself or legislation fostering this type of meeting. We won't know for another few weeks.
Okay. All right. So with those additional pieces of information, before we move to discussion by the board, I would take, let's see, I'm seeing hands in the panelists. Or is that attendees? Attendees. I would take public comment on this. Osana? You're muted, Osana.
Yes, sorry. Christine Heinrichs, go ahead, please. Thank you.
I encourage the board to resume in-person meetings and continue the remote Zoom option. In-person meetings are the best way for the public and the elected representatives to get together. Zoom meetings add the capability of participating for those who, for any reason, are not attending in person. Please also add the ability for all attending to see who joins them at the meeting via Zoom. You could start this today. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Heinrichs. And you, Ms. Osana?
Yeah, Dr. Bettenhausen, go ahead, please.
Thank you very much. I have two questions. Why are you doing this now? It seems slightly premature to me to do it before all this legislation has the chance of being adopted or rejected, number one. I have not heard of any state indication that this must be changed this soon. Certainly, judging by the situation with Delta variant of the coronavirus, I would highly recommend that you do not go to in-person meetings. Even though the Seoul County has a relatively good reputation, that is not what the picture is that's getting painted by many of the specialists in the spread of the Delta version of the coronavirus. The second thing I have, the second major point is, it's very unclear to me whether in the description of your three scenarios, you have included doing the board meetings, including special meetings, in person, but the Zoom meeting, but the standing committee and pros commission meetings via Zoom, or must they be in person too? I do not see any evaluation here of what exactly, what is the standing of the description that you give for each scenario in relationship to the standing committees and to the pros commission. I think there are some pennies and dollars floating around there that are a little waiting to land somewhere, and they're so far not very transparent. So that's still rather obscure in its description, and I'm not blaming anybody for that. We've certainly all had the pressure on us these days. But I would like definitely to know why in the world you're taking this up today, because it's July, it's vacation, it's summer. You aren't talking about doing anything until August. Oh, maybe September 1st. Don't worry about it. Pick it up sometime in August. Maybe in September, the legislature will be done. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Bettenhausen. Osana?
Yes. Does Bob Lloyd want to speak? Is that a... I'll allow him to talk. Pablo, okay. No.
Yep.
Yes? Yeah, I guess. No.
Nope.
All right.
Yes.
Ted Key, I'll allow Ted Key to talk. Go ahead, Ted Key.
Hi again, folks. Listen, I have to agree with both Dr. Bettenhausen and Christine Heinrichs. You're obviously not going to be able to make any decisions today, and you do have an opportunity to take some time to contemplate this issue. I would encourage you to take a look and see what kind of attendance you're getting, Zoom versus the in-person. As a standing committee member, I have to tell you, I like the Zoom format, and the real thing that I like about the Zoom at, although of course I like all the people that I work with on my committee, and I'm, you know, very happy to see them in person, but we also get a visual recording of our meeting rather than just the taped recordings, which are just kind of funky to, you know, to search through. So I kind of like the Zoom format, especially for the standing committees. But obviously, there's going to be some mitigating factors, or, you know, who knows what the final decision will be made. But that's my two cents on the issue. Some kind of hybrid, perhaps, as Ms. Heinrich suggested. But I really like the Zoom format for the standing committees, to be honest with you. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Key. Osama?
Thank you. Bob Lloyd, go ahead, please.
Thank you, everyone. Bob Lloyd, we're here with AGP Video, your broadcaster for your meetings. We will, of course, work with your staff with any solution that you would like to have. We have a couple of different options and capabilities. Some are more easier to do than others, and we'd be happy to be a part of your solution at this within this process.
Well, thank you for the support, Mr. Lloyd. It's very much appreciated.
Thank you.
Director Dean, I apologize. Let me preface that with we had no other public comments, so I'm going to bring it back to the board. And Director Dean,
I do have one.
Oh, written. Oh,
yes, written. Yes.
Thank you.
Sure. From Holly Ludwigson for item 6C to all board members. Thank you, Osana, for reading my email at the meeting. I request that my comment be included in the 7-8 meeting minutes and consideration of resuming in-person CCSD board meetings. I would like to request that the Zoom format be continued in addition to in-person meeting for obvious practical reasons, such as daytime work schedules, impact on attendance of midday meeting time. Furthermore, continuing the Zoom format would certainly align with the board's stated goal to improve communication between the board and ratepayers. Thank you, Holly Ludwigson, Lodge Hill. Thank you.
Thank you, Osana. I take it was just the one written comment. Is that correct? All right. Thank you. All right. Director Dean.
May I move to table this item until after the legislation is settled as to what is going to be allowed or required in regards to meetings in the future? I have to agree with several of the people in regards to, if I can make comment in addition to making this motion, the Zoom meetings for standing committees allows people to see the meeting. It allows people to see any presentations that are made, and you could go back and watch the video later. When we just have an audio recording that we have in in-person meetings, it's very difficult to tell to the people who are listening who exactly is speaking, and they're also not able to see the presentations. If there is a way, once we decide to go back to in-person meetings, to do it in person and still have a Zoom recording that could be put on the website, I would be in favor of that. I am not in favor of doing Zoom meetings and having people come to our homes. So that's the solution. Yeah. I'd rather do it in person, but I would like to do it in person and continue having at least the standing committee meetings be available through a Zoom recording, because I know AGP does not record those. I also would like to say that being a panelist on the board and being a panelist on standing committee meetings, we can see how many people are attending these meetings. And we have had far bigger attendance of the public to these meetings via Zoom than we ever have had in person. And so, you know, I would like to see some form of recording of the standing committee's video be continued.
Right. There are a great many benefits that, as you've described. Vice President Howell.
Two things. First, I want to second Director Dean's motion to postpone discussion of this until after the legislature has acted. I would like to take a few minutes to talk a little about it, but I think I'll reserve my comments until if there is, we can either talk. There are some interesting, actually, I have some informational So may I ask the questions of the general manager at this time, President Steidel? I'm kind of piggybacking on my second.
All right. Well, if we're finished with the motion, I mean, certainly there's the opportunity to talk to Mr. Weigold and to ask a question. And actually, I have a question also, if we're finished with the motion that has to do with the September 1st date. And the idea of a friendly amendment that would actually have a date associated with it, rather than just tabling it, that potentially to take it to a date certain, no later than the first board meeting of September. Mm. But that would take us past the September 1st. So no. Which means that we'd have to be the second board meeting in August, and that may not even be, there may not be full resolution by that point.
I'm a little confused. So are you asking for a friendly amendment or?
No. I was proposing the friendly amendment. Mr. Carmel?
The September 1st date is not a hard date. I think if you moved it to the first meeting in September, you'd be fine.
Oh, all right. All right. Then that would be my friendly amendment to the motion, that we tabled it, but to a date certain of September 8th, 9th.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's satisfactory for the second. No, Director Gray?
Oh, I'm not. I'm going to comment, but not on that.
All right.
The second accepts the amendment, but now there's the first accepted.
And the second, well, I was getting the, okay.
I was shaking my head, so I think yeah. accepting it, but if I could okay. verbalize
so
it.
So we have a motion second before we move to roll call. Director Gray, you have a comment?
Yeah, I'm kind of disappointed that we didn't take this a little more in more detail as to what we mean, for instance, by a hybrid and so forth. So a lot of information is not coming out. I'm against tabling it because I think we can partially open for a hybrid type of meeting, especially of our board under current rules. I have a problem with waiting for the legislature to act because we do not know what they're going to do. We do not know what the governor is going to sign. Nothing is clear in that area, and we are allowed to have in-person meetings, and I wanted to discuss that. So I'm against tabling it. I'm going to lose that vote apparently, but that's just I think we're kind of missing an opportunity. I think we owe the public to have in-person meetings because that is how we are intended to work together, and it is possible to do that. You know, with due precautions in a public setting such as the vets hall, we can properly space even if we have to. We're all vaccinated, so we can meet together.
No, we can't say that we're all vaccinated. You don't know that.
Well, no. Oh, well, I am. I mean, the five of us. I mean, if we're not, we're not. We should be. But I'm saying it is. We are capable of doing this. So, okay. not in the public interest to keep doing Zoom meetings forever.
Well, no one's.
Indefinitely, and I'll say indefinitely.
A district council has his hand up.
Sure. Yes, Mr. Carmel. You are muted, sir.
That was a mistake. I meant to take it down.
Oh, well, okay. All right. Let's see, Director Gray. So, Director Dean.
We already have a motion and a second on the floor. May I suggest we take a vote on this?
Director, now there are two directors apparently who have comments still for discussion, so we will take those. And actually, Director Farmer, you were next.
Thank you very much. I'm not going to say anything original, I don't believe, here, other than to support the majority of the comments that have been made by the attendees as well as the board members. Making full use of Zoom at all of our meetings, especially like, you know, standing committees, the pros commission, that type of thing, allows for greater visibility for all operations of the district. Mm-hmm. And as Director Dean, I believe, commented on, so many more people are attending these Zoom meetings than would have been attending in person. So my take on it is, no matter what the additional cost, Zoom meetings should be taken advantage of at every opportunity. But I'd also like to mention one more thing. And that is that a number of members of the public who attend our meetings, they're just wanting to know, they'd like to have some understanding as to who else is attending the meetings. Like when we have a live meeting at the Vets Hall, you can pretty much see who is in the audience and that type of thing. Whereas with the Zoom meetings, you can't. And so I think it would be advisable if there is some way, without any major expense, to allow for the people that are attendees to see who the other attendees are. I don't know how we do that technologically. So that's one thing I'd like to comment on that maybe hasn't been commented on so far. And there was one other item that I wanted to mention. Oh, is there a way, and perhaps Mr. Lloyd can advise us on this, is there a way to, if we have meetings in person at the Vets Hall, the people that go up and speak in public comment, we can see them. Is there a way to be able to see people that speak in public comment at a Zoom meeting as well?
There is.
So I'd just like some follow-up on those. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Director Dean, your hand.
Yes. Let's let Vice President Howell speak first and then follow-up.
Vice President Howell?
A couple of things. First of all, it is in order to debate a motion prior to voting on it, unless we have a motion for the previous question, which requires a two-thirds majority. So that gets us into playing games like they do in the Senate. So, I have a couple of questions. I also, much of the discussion about whether or how to use Zoom or to not use Zoom in the future, this is about like talking about the angels on the head of a pin. We really don't know what we're going to be permitted to do. So I do recommend that this is a very, very good discussion, but this is probably not the best time for it. Two things, and then I wanted to very briefly address what Director Farmer said, because I have a question in my own mind about that. First of all, may we know what the district's here? I just renewed my Zoom license today for $150 for a year's worth of webinars. What is the Zoom license costing the district? And I presume it's not only a video conference license, but also a webinar license, probably with a certain limit as to the number of attendees. Do we have that information from staff? Is that easy for you to provide us?
Ms. Duffield?
Yes, I do have that information. So our Zoom, I think it's three parts. There is a 500 person limit or a 500 attendee limit, I believe. And it's $389.90 each month, $389.90 per month.
Okay.
And is that on an unlimited basis? You're muted.
Swiped past. Did I unmute? I did. Okay. Yes. As far as I'm aware, it is unlimited. We had a different plan at the beginning that we had to increase.
Yeah. You have, my understanding is you have innumerable meetings within that framework. Mm-hmm. That's the other question. These are more. Oh. Two more questions. One more for staff. Once a decision is made in terms of how we are going forward, which is apparently probably not what we're going to do today, but once that decision is made, given what you know so far, I'm not asking you to anything that you don't feel comfortable with, but in terms of everything you've told us, how long will it take once the decision is made for staff to implement it? And are we allowing enough time in our time frame?
I'm not sure that, I mean, that's another what if kind of question. It's going to depend on whatever the criteria is too, in terms of what's passed down to us and how the Brown Act works within that, and where we are in terms of COVID, frankly. I mean, we don't know.
Yeah, that's true. So that might have been more too hypothetical. I was just concerned that we might be putting too much of a squeeze on staff, and I didn't want to do that. The other thing has to do with showing participants. So my first question is to council. If there is a way to show who the participants are, is it legal for us to do that?
Question.
They're aware of that? Yes, it is.
It is legal. Okay. I do have, and I can discuss with the general manager, there's a couple of ways that we can accomplish that, where we can actually allow the public to see who is actually to see what we're seeing, the attendees display that we all see, or if we so choose. There are ways we can do that. The other thing, which was, can we show the speaker's face when members of the public speak? You need to check me on this, Osana, but I believe you can promote someone to a panelist temporarily to allow them to be visible. It seems to me that you've already done that a couple of times. So if, unless I'm making this up, it is, there are ways that we could, and we can discuss it in another, this is not the time, we can discuss that, but I just wanted to, one last, this is for Tim.
We really need to move to the motion, and we're having an entire conversation on something we're deferring.
Is it legal for me to simply read the list of names of the people attending? If I were chairing this meeting, could I then, would it be legal for me to simply read the list?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. That's all I needed to know. Okay, thank you very much.
Director Dean?
Okay, just a couple more comments. I'll make it brief. Okay, so what we're hearing from a lot of the members of the public who want to go back to in-person meetings is what their problem is with the Zoom meetings is that you can't see their face when they speak. They can't see who else is attending. When you have in-person meetings and you go back and watch it on slow span, you can't see who's attending either. No. You can only see them when they are up at the podium speaking. I have noticed both at the NCAC meetings and at some of our meetings that if a person has their profile picture attached to their Zoom account, you see their still profile picture, just like what you see of us when we click stop video, you see our profile picture. Earlier today, we had a member of the public speak about the skate park issue, and you saw her photo, and that was her profile picture attached to Zoom. Members of the public can do that. They can attach their profile picture to their Zoom account if they're attending by Zoom, and then you can see them. The other thing is as far as a showing the attendees list like we see them, people who do not want their name displayed have the option of changing their name when they sign into Zoom. They can go to their own, it's on here somewhere. I saw it on the bottom of the screen. There's a place where you could correct your name. And so I have seen in the past where people will just put a four-digit number or something, but there has to be a way for Osana to identify people to call them so they can use whatever they want as an identification. We had a member at a meeting, I think Brown Act training, that said, not so anonymous, and then his last name. So there are options there if you want. But in the meantime, may we go ahead and have our vote?
Yes, I think that's an excellent recommendation. So it's... It's been enough time that Osana, I guess I will ask if you have. No, yeah, I can understand that.
I don't know who started what and where it went.
Okay.
So, and we Director have Dean. Bob Lloyd still. Was it you, Director Dean?
I made the motion that we bring this back at a future meeting. President Seidel made a friendly amendment that it be the first meeting of September, which I believe is September 9th.
Correct.
Is that correct?
That's what I understand it to be, yes.
So my motion is to include President Steidel's friendly amendment to go ahead and bring this discussion back to the September, is it 9th?
September, no later than the September 9th.
No later than the September 9th meeting.
Board meeting for yes. discussion and
yes.
consideration. Okay, and the second to that originally was?
Don.
Thank you. Vice President Howell was the second on that. All right. I'd like to move right. the motion forward okay. then for roll call, please.
Okay. So then, Director Dean, how do you vote?
Yes.
Thank you, Director Dean. Aye. Vice President Howell, how do you vote?
Aye.
Vice President Howell, aye. Thank you. Director Gray?
No.
No. Director Gray, no. Thank you. Director Farmer?
Aye.
Director Farmer, aye. Thank you. And President Steidel?
Aye.
President Steidel, aye. Thank you. 4 ayes and 1 nay. Thank you.
Okay, so the motion is passed to table the agenda item 6C regarding resumption of in-person standing committee and board standing committee and pros to a date no later than September 9th, the first board meeting of September. And the vote is 4-1-0. All right. So, what did I do? Put away my agenda. All right, that takes care of the regular business items, and we'll move to item 7, board member committee and liaison reports. And initially, I'll call for public comment.
Come on, a lot of folks there. Why are they? Okay.
And I don't see any public comment regarding board member committee and liaison reports. Elizabeth.
Donna has her hand up.
Yep.
Yeah, it's for all items under 7A, right?
Correct. Or okay. Yes.
Yes. And let's take Dr. Bettenhausen, and then I will read. Go ahead, Dr. Bettenhausen.
Yes, I found it somewhat difficult to understand the material. As a report to you, and I recall, President Steidel, that you said these reports are not for public edification, but rather to inform the board. I would like to know why you have these reports so regularly to the board when there are no actions proposed by your standing committees. And I'm sure you have excellent reasons for putting this on the agenda every time, but it sort of gets delayed it's scheduled at the end of the agenda. But I await, as I've said repeatedly, an understanding of how exactly the standing committee's authority is related to the board's delegation of authority and what it is that you think they should be reporting about in writing and orally to you once a month. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Bettenhausen.
Thank you, Dr. Bettenhausen. All right, no additional public comment that I can see.
And I have one for 7B.
All right, thank you.
Okay, this is from Holly Ludwigson as well for item 7D. To all board members, thank you for reading my public comment. I request that my comments be included in the meeting minutes. In the top of the world area of Lodge Hill, where we walk daily, we often notice a strong sewer smell when we pass various sewer manhole covers. Additionally, the water that comes out of our shower head has the same smell. Considering ongoing comments about the deteriorating status of Cambria's wastewater treatment facility, we can't deny that the smell could very well be related to the deterioration of the facility's ability to treat wastewater effectively. I believe that the condition and repair of the WWTF should be a top priority for Cambria, only behind safe evacuation in case of wildfires and water conservation. Thank you for your consideration. Holly Ludwigson, Lodge Hill.
Thank you, Asana. And I suppose that can be directed to the R&I committee.
Yeah, not finance.
As point of reference. Mm-hmm. Director Farmer?
I just want to make a comment. This is probably more for Mr. D'Enzo, our utilities manager. Mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken, I've been told in the past that when you're going by a sewer manhole or whatever, and you notice the odor, that can often indicate that people are flushing their toilet less, and therefore things are not getting washed out as completely, in the sewer system, because people, like I said, they're not flushing as often, so there's not as much water removing the odor. I could be wrong in that regard with regard to her observation, but I believe I've been told that in the past. So I just wanted to pass that on. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Farmer. So there is one thing I will request of those who are involved with the standing committees and the liaison and ad hoc committee reports for the board ad hoc committee reports. And that is when the reports come in, for publication within the agenda, would you please record the name of the submitter of the report and the date of its submittal? Because right now that unfortunately isn't the case. And so if there are questions that anyone of the directors or staff might have regarding the report, they don't have a source to go to, and not having a date associated with it can lead to difficulties in understanding whether you have the most recent information available to you. So that would be my singular request in that regard. All right, Director Farmer?
I'll just say this, since two of the three items submitted here and 7E are for myself, I'll just make sure that after I type it all up, I'll put my name and the date of the submission at the bottom.
Thank you, sir. Director Dean?
I apologize. I used to put my name at the bottom. I seem to have forgotten this time.
And no apologies or anything else necessary. It was just a request to pass on just for general consumption.
I usually do put on there, though, the date of the meeting I'm reporting on and what agenda it is for. But however, since we're talking about these reports, I do have a correction for my NCAC liaison report, if I may go ahead.
Certainly.
Okay. In the last paragraph, I misspelled the name of the person who is going to be guest speaker. It is Anna Devers, D-E-V-E-R-S. And since I submitted this report, the speaker has changed. it will be from the same organization, SLOCOG. But in place of Ms. Devers doing the report, it will be Thomas Arndt, A-R-N-D-T, and he's an administrative services officer for the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments. And he will be focusing his presentation on the 2023 Regional Transportation Plan for the county. People can submit written questions in advance of this meeting, which will be held on July 21st to the NCAC website. And that's what, and they also will be voting in the,
the newly elected.
The newly elected, yeah. Thank you. Representatives. That's it. Thank you. Oh, and I had no R&I committee report this time because we did not have a meeting in June, but we will be having a meeting this month.
Likewise with Finance Committee, we didn't meet in the past month, so we were meeting in July.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Vice President Howell.
A short Policy Committee report. We had a quorum for about 20 minutes until the internet failed us, and then we had to cancel for lack of quorum. So we did approve the previous meeting's minutes, and then the quorum failed.
Thank you, Vice President Howell. There's always a reason for everything, right? Okay, we'll move on then to future agenda items. Are there any recommendations in terms of future agenda items from directors?
Yes.
Director Farmer.
Thank you. I have two or three items. The first one is recently there was discussion with regard to the ad hoc committee of Ms. Dean and myself, Director Dean and myself, regarding our recommendations for intent to serve letters. So I'd like to have that brought on the future agenda with regard to discussion and consideration so we can have a vote on that.
Director Farmer, just for your feedback, that's already on a future agenda. We've already got that taken care of.
Cool. So also, and I know we discussed this at the beginning of this meeting, but at some point, having a vote on the skate park and having it at the former location and, you know, confirming to the community that that's the direction that we're going in. And obviously there's other items that we need to be aware of before we confirm that. But I feel that would be a very good thing to do. Just confirming the location, if nothing else, as well as all the other attended, you know, financial situations with regard to the skate park. And then thirdly, and this isn't necessarily a future agenda item, but I just wanted to bring up again, I would like the board or the R&I Standing Committee to have the opportunity to speak with Mr. Gus Yates with regard to the in-stream flow study and the overall health and well-being of the aquifer, which we're paying him good money for. And I think we need to be informed in that as, you know, as a service to the community as well as to ourselves. And also, as I've mentioned before, I'd like to, if we can, have our biologist, Cindy Cleveland, available just to discuss some of the findings that she's had, especially the recent one that she did on frogs, the report that she provided there, since what's happening with the frogs is often an indicator of what's happening with the environment. So those are my suggestions and requests. Thank you.
Thank you. And Director Gray.
Yes, I have two items to propose. One is a little more long term. One is more more urgent. The latter has to do with vaccinations. Just I think it was last week, the CCHD, the healthcare district, voted to require that staff be vaccinated by a certain date. I think probably sometime in September. And the argument that there's two arguments basically that I think apply to some CCSD staff. One is, of course, they go on medical calls and they're exposed to the public in those situations at close hand. And they also work 40-hour shifts and they live and sleep in close quarters and eat in close quarters. And so if one of them is infected with, say, the Delta variant or another variant, they could quickly all become infected. So that decision was made to require it. At the CCSD, I think we should also maybe open up the discussion of whether at least certain groups of employees, and the fire employees are obviously what I'm kind of thinking of here, should also have a requirement, because there's two risks, really. Also, as you know, the fire department has paramedics. They go on medical calls. They don't do transports, but they do medical calls. But the main thing, the risk to me is that if there's another rise in COVID, cases, serious COVID cases among unvaccinated people, if you have people, both regular employees and reservists, working, 48-hour shifts, sleeping and eating and working in close quarters, you have the risk of an infection that would take a number of people out of commission and leave us in a very uncomfortable situation, obviously, providing the service. So I do want to raise that, look at the legalities of it, what CalOSHA requires, what you can do under HIPAA and so forth. But I want that I think should be on a fairly upfront soon on the agenda. My other proposal is a little more long-term, but it has to do with the financing or refinancing of the WRF loan. I've had some discussions with staff on this, and we are 2.5 years away from the point at which we can simply pay it off with no penalty at all. Now, at this point, there is a prepayment penalty based on the hedges that the bank had to open up for their protection. The question I have, and this is something I would request that would be referred to the Finance Committee, and so we could have an ad hoc subcommittee work on it, is to look at the options we might have for refunding with a new loan, maybe a longer-term loan, especially a lower-interest loan, and see if there is a benefit to doing that up front, even if we have to pay a penalty. And so, or a benefit to doing it at some point in the near future when the penalty is lower. So I wanted to see if that could go on the agenda as a referral, ideally a referral to the Finance Committee.
Okay. Okay, I recorded all of it.
Thank you.
Director Farmer?
Yes, I don't know if this is something I should add on to what Director Gray just said, but with regard to EMTs being vaccinated, I recall earlier this year, I believe it was a January meeting of CCHD, where the report was made that not just here in Cambria, but nationwide, only roughly 50% of emergency responders actually have had the vaccine, mm-hmm. and the other 50% have decided not to, which obviously does create a problem, as Director Gray alluded to. I don't know what the situation is at the fire department with regard to how many of them are vaccinated. They also live in close quarters. But I just wanted to follow up on what Director Gray was pointing out. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Farmer. Director Howell?
Yes, thank you. Yes, I think it's, can we have an update regarding the redistricting? I remember we did hire a consultant, and I think maybe, I'd, if at all possible, I'd like to get a progress report, even if the report is that there's no progress. But I think there needs to be a report.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
And I've got that as well. Okay. Excellent. Then what I will do, if that appears to be closed, is that I will close our current regular meeting and take to item 9, adjourn to closed session, and ask for public comment. Osana?
Yes, Dr. Bettenhausen, go ahead, please.
Thank you. I just want to say that I thank whoever posts these agendas and these wordings. Perhaps I suspect in this instance with Council Carmel's good advice, because it's really fun if I have a spare minute or hour to go searching to try to find out, pardon my saying it, what in the hell is this about? So I know that my rates pay for all legal fees, et cetera. So if there's any way, Ms. President Steidel, if you could request of the council his excellent advice on how you might achieve one of your first strategic plan goals of informing the public transparently, I'd be a very grateful woman if he contributed his wisdom on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Bettenhausen. For point of information, the descriptions are provided to us by Mr. Carmel, so he's provided exactly what we can legally provide. Okay, that being said, then I will move us to our closed session. So this particular Zoom meeting is completed, and please use your linkage for the closed session meeting to follow. Thank you all. Thank you all for the contributions today.
See you soon.
Recording stopped.